Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting on April the 14th, 2011. Can we have a roll call, Lisa?
Falk.
Here.
How?
Here.
McElhenney. Stelk.
Here.
Bollinger.
Here.
I don't know whether everyone has an agenda. Did you all get an agenda? If not, there's one on the podium in the back. Item two on our agenda is a review of the board procedures, and that's for you folks in the audience this afternoon. This is the Board of Adjustment. It's a five-member board. We're appointed by the mayor. It's our responsibility to interpret the city zoning ordinances as they apply to special uses and variances. We hold public hearings, such as we're holding this afternoon, once a month. Applications are submitted to the staff. The staff, in turn, mails each of the members of the board fact sheets. We go out and look at the sites in question and then come prepared to make our decisions at the public hearings. If anyone has anything to say, if anybody would like to speak, I'd ask that you go back to the podium where the microphone is so we can record the meeting properly. We allow the applicants, and we also allow any objectors to speak. So with that in mind, we'll go ahead and get started. Item three, the board to review and approve the minutes of the meeting of March 10th, 2011. Chairman.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Second.
We have a motion that's been seconded. Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion's carried to approve the minutes from March 10th. Item four, the board to hold a public hearing on the following items. Our first case is 11-015 at 3333 18th Street. This is an R2 district, a request for a variance to allow parking in a required front yard submitted by Gary Hennemeister. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And then you have a staff report, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is well known to all of us. It is the Bettendorf High School site, adjacent to 18th Street, north of Maple Crest and south of Tangle Foot Lane. The applicant would like to place parking within the existing front median and the area that's shown with the three arrows on the graphic being displayed. Parking would provide approximately 38 spaces to be much closer to the new entrance to the school and help them meet compliance with ADA standards. The new parking would also allow security staff to have better visibility over the parking where people would be entering the building. And security, of course, has become much more of an issue with high schools as of late. Parking, if allowed, would be approximately still 15 feet back from the public sidewalk in front of the high school. Again, the yellow area on the display before you shows where the spaces will be. The new entrance will move to the section that's being shown with the arrow pointing to the new entrance. The majority of this renovation will be a new auditorium that will be built in front of or to the west of the existing auditorium, and therefore the best place from the applicant's point of view to place the parking, the additional parking spaces that will be needed, is right in the area that's being displayed. Going back one display, as you can see, this would be the area of the new expansion, and you have parking a great deal distance away, either in this location or that location. So that's the reason being given for this request. Staff notes that this request is almost identical to the situation that has existed at Pleasant Valley High School for years now, in which they too have parking in the front of the school, also adjacent to the main entrances to the building, which are being displayed on the graphic before you. Almost an identical type of request as to what has existed over there for years. Staff has no knowledge of any major incidents associated with the parking at this location. There was one serious incident approximately 3-4 years ago, following the homecoming parade at this location where a car struck, I believe it was two people, but it was totally unrelated to the parking issue in front of the school. And it was related to everybody dismissing at the same time from the homecoming festivities. The difference between the PV situation and the requested situation at Bettendorf, as you can see from the graphic being displayed now, there's absolutely no buffering, vegetative buffering, between the parking area in front of Pleasant Valley and the adjacent residences directly across the street. Under the plan being considered this evening, the residences being over on this side of the roadway, there is going to be considerable vegetative buffering between the requested parking with numerous trees being placed between the parking area and the houses to eliminate any adverse impact on them. Staff was contracted by a Mr. Brian Ballard of 3318 18th Street, which is one of the affected homes across the street. He has voiced support for the request. Staff was also contacted by additional neighbor at the intersection of Tanglefoot and 18th Street, and also supports the request, indicated that the only objection they had was to some lighting that already exists in one of the parking lots down there, and that's something that we can address as this progresses through the site plan portion and planning and zoning, and staff will be probably having that discussion with members of the school to see if there's something that could be done to alleviate that. Given the current layout of the parking configuration at the school, staff identifies this ADA issue as a hardship for the new addition and for the new entrance, which will oftentimes be the only entrance which will be open to the public during school hours for safety reasons. I believe that is a summary of the request before you this evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, John. Is the applicant here wishing to speak on in behalf?
Yes, I'll say a few words.
Hi, I'm Gary Hinnermeister with Downey Architects, the architect on this project. And really, just to reiterate the three main points as we see it for this variance request is, number one, security. We're relocating the whole main entry to the high school, and after 8 o'clock, when classes start, the rest of the doors will go on lockdown, and this will be the main entry point into the school. The security offices will be relocated to this main entry point so that the security officer can watch the comings and goings and anybody going in and out of the school from this point. Hence, that's why we wanted one of the reasons why we wanted the parking there was so that there's 36 new spaces for visitor parking. In addition to that, we'll bring the ADA parking close. When the auditorium is being used for an event, we're going to pull ADA spaces up close so they'll be able to get in and out of the building there too. So it's really twofold, it's security and ADA. In addition to what was just mentioned, we're going to have, there's 29 tree credits required for this landscape piece. And right now, if you know the high school, there's kind of a lot of rangy evergreen trees that are there that have kind of served their useful purpose. Some of them are dying, some of them are. We're gonna propose to take those down, and we're gonna build it back with overstory trees. I believe we've got over 30 trees. I know we've got 29. I think I counted 32 trees that we're gonna be planting in this strip along here. So that'll really help, in our minds anyway, buffer the whole transition between the new parking, the sidewalk that's there, and then the street. So.
Will those trees be deciduous or evergreens?
They'll be deciduous, yes. No evergreen. We won't be planting any evergreens in that front. And there's 11 evergreens right now, and our proposal is to take them down.
Will the parking be at an angle? Is that towards the street? Is that
the Yeah, the parking will be as an angle. I believe it shows up on that, so, but it'll be angled parking. As you come into the school there.
Yeah, that's going to be a one-way, isn't it?
Right. And the way it's set up right now, you have to enter north of the auditorium. That's the main entry. And you'll come in and then turn right, if you will, and then go south along that drive. There you go, just like that, south. And that's the one-way. And so then you angle park there. And then to get out, you go down beyond. There's another drive out on 18th, right? And it's one-way out there. So.
John, how wide is that landscaping area where the trees will be on? Is that 5 foot, 10 foot?
It's more like 15.
I was going to say 15 feet, yeah.
15 feet is what it was scaled out at.
So other than the aesthetics, what's the purpose of the trees? Is it to try to mask the headlights shining across the street?
They will do some of that. The purpose of the trees is really to meet the tree requirement of the zoning ordinance, in addition to beautifying the space and masking the.
To me, I would think deciduous trees would probably not do much from blocking headlights.
Well, that's probably.
I understand that you're doing it for another reasons, and
right.
I appreciate that. And PV doesn't have anything. I understand that as well.
My only thought, if there was a more of an angle, the cars could pull a little more straighter in and back out a little better. You might lose one parking place or so, but you wouldn't be shining across the street as currently indicated.
I'm sorry.
If you had a little more of an angle.
Oh, a little more of an angle.
Yeah. So okay. Lose one space or something, but.
That's a possibility. Yeah.
But you wouldn't be shining across the street as much either.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only thought.
Okay. Is there anything else? Anyone else interested in comments? Either in favor of or in opposition? Okay, thank you. Okay, board.
Make a motion to approve case 11-015.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion to approve it. It's been seconded. Any comments, any discussion?
I just add that for the applicant and the staff to see if we can, if it makes sense to be smarter in our tree selection to maybe head off a problem with the neighborhood as far as headlights.
Sure.
If we're going to go to the length of spending money for 30 trees, let's pick the right trees that'll be good for the applicant and good for the neighborhood.
Well, maybe a possible berm in there, couldn't you? Would that be a possibility? Just 2 or 3 feet? That's all you need, don't you, to block the headlight?
I don't think, you know, if you're looking at a maintainable slope 3-to-1, 15 foot, you're not going to get much of a berm in there. We can talk to the applicant about maybe doing some coniferous bushes or something between the trees or something, mm-hmm. and strategically place those.
It would just be a shame that you invest all those thousands of dollars into those trees and find out you wish you'd have picked a better selection to head off a potential problem.
We're also working with the city too. There's a new 6 foot wide sidewalk that's going in there too, so that kind of restricts a little bit of our planting area because of the new sidewalk that the city
sure.
has to put in too. So.
Yeah.
6 feet wide.
That's the plan, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The arterials get a recreation trail on one side and then a 6 foot sidewalk on the other, so.
Okay, anything else? Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The motion's carried then to approve case 11-015. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next item on our agenda, this is B, case 11-016 at 5573 Charter Oaks Drive. This is an R1 district. A request for a variance to allow a 6 foot high fence and a required front yard setback submitted by Robert Huber. We have an affidavit of public.
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site's located at the southwest corner of Charter Oaks Drive and Monks Road. The applicant would like to place a 6 foot high fence around the exterior of the rear yard, or shall I say the yard to the rear of the house, and would extend to within 19 feet of the property line adjacent to Monks Road. Although this appears to most people to be a side yard, technically because of the corner lot issue, this is in fact a side yard, and therefore they must receive a variance in order to do so. The fence will go no farther forward than the front line of the house as shown on the display. This request is almost identical to a situation that was approved up on Adele Lane. I believe that was 2 years ago, and with the exception that this fence would actually be back farther, the approval given to Adele Lane would have been within, is in fact within 15 feet. That fence is up. I noticed that it was up just the other day. Is within 15 feet of the front property line on the adjacent road. This would be 19 feet. If you go to this site, you'll notice that there are some separating issues from the requested placement of the fence and the roadway. First of all, the entire site where the fence is going to be is elevated considerably above the roadway to minimize the effect of having some wall next to you as you're driving down Monk's Road. This being Monk's Road, then Charter Oaks is over here. Also in the area of the fence, you'll see that, again, there's considerable landscaping up in that area. Another thing to help mitigate the impact, the visual impact of a fence in that area. I think the applicant has shown this to be almost identical to the request that was previously approved by the board. There are no issues with line of sight issues at this location, and staff did not see any other issues that we felt were problematic. I believe that summarizes it, Mr. Chairman, if you have any questions.
All right, thank you. Is the applicant here and wishing to make any comments?
I'm Robbie Huber. I live in the house. I own the property there. Just to reiterate the reasoning behind our request, and that is Monk's Road is a heavily trafficked commercial with Mid-America Energy, and then there are a few landscaping companies that have shops on Valley Drive. And in the summer, the traffic on Monk's Road, commercial traffic, is fairly heavy, and it impedes our enjoyment of our backyard, and it really intrudes in on our backyard, and I appreciate your support on this.
All right, thank you. Anyone else in favor of or in opposition? Okay, board have any questions?
I just have one question. Where does the 19-foot setback put this? Does it put this outside the tree line towards the street? Is the tree line enclosed in the fence or outside the fence?
Go back to the picture from the corner.
Sure.
It's actually going to be placed right on the crown of the berm, so it'll actually run through the middle of those trees.
Okay, so some of the trees will be outside the fence and some inside.
That's correct.
Okay.
I did see a red flag up there.
That it will be the end of the flag. Yeah. That was to let everyone know where it's going to go from there back to the south.
And you don't have any intention of joining the fence to the side of the house? It's just to be a noise break?
Well, there is on the back side of the house, there'll be the fence that comes over from it. So if you can see on it'd be on the east side there, on the south side of the house. The fence is actually going to be back on the back corner.
Oh, it is. Okay. That's even better.
Right there.
Oh, super. Okay.
Even better.
But it still will extend out to the front of the house.
That is correct. And that is to help with the sound and the visual.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve case 11-016.
I'll second.
Okay. Again, we have a motion to approve it. It's been seconded. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. The motion's carried to approve case 11-016. Moving along, our next item is C. This is case 11-017 at 3498 Field Site Drive. This is an R1 district, a request for a variance to allow a 6-foot high fence and a required front yard setback submitted by Shadrach Roberts. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
Mr. Chairman, continuing with the fence theme that we have this evening, again, it's a corner lot, pretty much the exact same issues that's being requested here. The site is at the intersection of Field Psych Drive and Devil's Glen Road. With Field Psych being to the bottom of the display before you, the applicant would like to place the fence as shown by the red line on the graphic being displayed. If allowed, the fence would be approximately 9 to 10 feet from the property line adjacent to Devil's Glen Road. Admittedly, it's a bit difficult to see on this display, but there is in fact a berm in the area where the fence would be located. And from my estimation at measuring this, I believe it to be 9 to 10 feet back from the property line adjacent to that public sidewalk along Devil's Glen Road, and that the berm would be on the outside of the requested fence. It is not as pronounced a berm as we had seen in the previous case, and also not as pronounced a berm as the one on the previous case that we described at Adele Lane, although the request is similar. Staff does not know if there is going to be any type of landscaping put in between the fence and the outside here, so that's why there's a little bit of a hesitation on our point from making the exact same kind of reference that we did on the last case, and perhaps the applicant, since he's here, would be able to tell us more what the plans are for the fence at this location. I believe that explains what the request is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and an applicant wishing to speak, go ahead.
Members of the board, I'm Shad Roberts. I purchased this property in December of last year. Relocated here from Germany with my family for work at the Arsenal and the DOD. I'm putting in this request. The main reason was for, well, one, I didn't get to really hear the noise over the winter, obviously, because we were indoors most of the time. But since the weather's gotten nice recently, coming out into the backyard, I think everybody here is familiar with Devil's Glen. It's a very highly trafficked road, as well as across on the other side of Devil's Glen from my property, there is a running track or a bike trail, if you will. Which is actually very heavily traveled, lots of folks, which is great. The problem or the issue as I saw it when I started bringing contractors out to look at the fence was I read the laws and saw that the ordinance was for 4 feet for the frontage, and that basically my backyard was considered a secondary front yard. My concern wasn't as much with sound. Now that the weather's got nice, the sound thing is really bad on Devil's Glen. The additional concern I had was I have an 18-month-old son, which with the people coming by all the time, the foot traffic and the bike traffic, I'm concerned for safety for my son, having him out with a 4-foot fence because people can see over into the backyard. I've had several contractors come out, and they've all steered me in the right direction. Mike Sampson was one, a gentleman from Lovewell. And really, if you go back to the last picture, if you could, John, thank you. See the yellow line, how it connects there? It's kind of misleading because it shows to the front of the house, but really that's actually a garage, and it's going to tie into that secondary. The other point I'd like to make is the way the zoning rule runs is I would have to run a fence literally in a straight line along with the edge of the garage back, and I would be legal with a 6-foot fence without a variance. The concern there is when this house was built, it was built by the Quad City Home Buyers Association as a green home, and they dumped thousands and thousands of dollars into the landscaping of the property. If I were to put a fence right there where the green line is, it would literally run right through the middle of that, some of the landscaping that was done. If a condition for me to do this is to have the 6-foot fence out there is to put some additional maybe smaller pine trees or something in between, I'm certainly open to that. And just as another point of contention, the house that you can see directly behind there in the distance, literally to the left, that is actually the Adele Lane house. So it's actually a neighbor of mine, the other case that's being cited. So if you have any further questions?
Okay.
Concerns?
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of or in opposition? Okay. Any questions?
John, you know, as I recall, and it's been probably several years ago, we've had similar requests along Devil's Glen and this development area. Can you update us, so from a consistency standpoint, what have we done or not done for the other neighbors that had similar requests?
Farther south on Devil's Glen, where it's a four-lane road, I think you've been consistently more lenient with allowing some of these fences to be, if not on the property line, only a foot or two back from the property line. I believe that's also been true along Tanglefoot Lane. This at this point in time is not as heavily traveled. It is two lane up here, but someday it is going to expand into a four lane. At this time, it's apples and oranges. Sometime in the future, it could be apples and apples.
Seems like just to the north, about a block or maybe two blocks, there was at least one and maybe two applicants that had similar requests. Yes. That I think we actually ended up asking them to break the fence up so it wasn't a solid fence, but it was sections of fence with space in between them to get around the fence definition. And I'm just wondering, you know, I don't want the rest of the neighbors to kind of feel like, well, either we're relaxed or we're changing the rules now.
On the Adele, that was definitely a solid security fence and not an aesthetic type looking fence that's broken. Certainly this area is going to get busy next fall with the opening of the new Hopewell School. So I can sympathize with the applicant from that standpoint. And I don't think there's any argument to the fact that this is going to get busier up in this area once that school opens.
So the argument there is the world's changed since previous.
If it hasn't changed, it's beginning to change.
Correct.
Evidence of that is if you look at the new subdivisions, both east and west of Devil's Glen to the north, the developers have, knowing there's going to be additional traffic up there, both have large berms heavily yes. landscaped on both sides, mm-hmm. which certainly
nice.
Is an advantage.
I think I just wanted to get on record to acknowledge to any previous applicants that, you know, we recognize that whatever we did back then may have been a little bit different than what we may choose to do tonight, and I'm okay with that. The world has
this
changed.
This area? Somewhat. Just a few years ago was considered more rural.
Right.
It's
been
changed.
That long.
Yeah. That's the security of his family too, for, you know, this traffic and the children playing in the yard and so forth. They know where they're at.
Personally, from my vantage point, I am glad to see that looks like you're gonna be roughly 9 feet off the sidewalk. I don't care for 6 foot fences right up against the sidewalk. It's just aesthetically displeasing to me, so I don't see a problem with this request.
Okay. Somebody would like to make a motion?
I'll be happy to make a motion that we approve this submittal.
Okay.
I'd second.
We have a motion to approve it. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. The motion's carried then to approve case 11-017.
Thank you, members of board.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. The last item on our agenda is D. This is case 11-018 at 4000 Middle Road. This is a C2 district, a request for a variance to allow an additional on-premise identification sign on a non-street frontage and to increase the allowable signage square footage from 300 square foot to 330 square feet, submitted by Ron Christ. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
Site is located immediately adjacent to and to the east of Lindquist Ford on Middle Road. It's shown in the area right here. The applicant would like to place a 24-foot long sign with letters that are 15 inches high on the east side of the building. So that traffic coming westbound on Middle Road would be able to see the sign. It's my understanding that this is actually the sign that was moved from the previous location when they were down by Duck Creek Mall. One of the items that staff discussed with the applicant is, although the site immediately adjacent to them is also a commercial site, which will develop as commercial someday, at this point in time, the immediate neighbors are residences over to the east. Although some distance away, they are still residences immediately to the east. And in response, the applicant has indicated that this will not be an illuminated sign so as to not cause any aesthetic problems with the residential area over there after dark. The applicant has been conducting a marketing study for the business. Applicant is of the belief that there is not enough exposure for the westbound traffic as they're going by this building from a business standpoint. There is a monument sign to the front of the business. It is two-faced, double-faced, so there is exposure from both directions on Middle Road. However, when you're coming westbound on Middle Road, the opposite side of this sign is the only exposure for signage that he has for that westbound traffic. Therefore, the applicant feels that the lack of signage on the east side of the building is a hardship, and he is asking for a variance to allow it on that non-street frontage sign. From staff standpoint, increasing the signage here by 30 square feet is not really as big an issue as however the board feels about having it on a non-street frontage sign. I believe that summarizes the request, and I do know that the applicant is here for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, John. Is the applicant here wishing to make any comments?
My name is Ron Christ, owner of Duck Creek Tire and Service. When we built the building, the middle road was closed westbound due to bridge construction. And that being said, we overlooked the idea of putting signage on that side of the building. No one had really come from that direction. The marketing study, the marketing company has advised us that by the time westbound traffic gets to our building, by the time they realize what it is, they're already almost past it, based on where the monument sign is on the tucked up in the corner there. So it's their advice for us to put some sort of signage on that side of the building and break it up and let people know as they're coming that what we are and who we are. Thank you.
Okay. Any comments? Any questions?
Question, John. When we approve requests like this, I guess I'm not quite sure. Are going forward into the future, if we approve the form and function that we see today, or can that change to a lighted sign, for instance, 2 years from now?
They are requesting a variance from the established rules and regulations. You may place any condition on that approval that you feel is appropriate, and that would stay with this and become a part of the decision and order. So if you have a concern about this changing to a bigger sign or changing to an illuminated sign or any of those issues, you could make it a condition that it I'm not trying to make a condition for you. I'm just looking at what I'm reading on the mm-hmm. You could say that it may be a non-illuminated 24-foot-long sign with 15-inch letters as a condition of the approval.
Yeah, my thoughts are that given what your request is, it's acceptable. I don't see a problem, but I would be cautious that it could become a problem if for some reason the form or function changed later. And so I guess my suggestion to my coworkers here would be is to approve specifically what you're requesting. Do you see a problem with that?
The only problem I would see with that is, like John said, those letters are letters that were removed off our old building 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A1 sign has been in possession of those letters, and they're checking them to make sure that they're okay to put up on the building. And currently, yes, I do want just non-illuminated letters. The 3.5 acres next to me is eventually going to be developed into some sort of commercial property. So that being said, I don't see why there would be a problem if eventually, years down the road, if they do become illuminated or there isn't, or if that sign has to get removed and updated based on age or something like that. So based on there being commercial property already there, once that is developed, there's going to be a buffer between the condos anyways. So I wouldn't see a problem with the illumination once it's developed. But my current plan is to just reuse the letters I have to save cost and just identify the building.
I guess I'd be inclined to make a motion to approve the applicant's request contingent on that the design that you have intended right now is roughly the same. I'm not, saying if you end up with new letters that it's a little bit bigger or we're going to have problems there, but non-illuminated and roughly the same size, and that any future changes you like to do, like illumination, if another party came next door, come back to us and we'll kick it around at that time and take a look at it.
He'd always have the option of reapplying for
right. Yeah. So let's take it one step at a time before we jump to conclusions.
My only request is, where's the lot line? I don't have a problem with this issue, but where's the lot line from the edge of the driveway coming east, John? How far?
In relationship to this side of the building?
Yes.
Right at the concrete.
Right at the concrete? Okay, yeah. So that would be a problem if they built up to their property line. Yeah.
Well, it may be a deterrent as well. If somebody builds a big building right in here, depending on what type of building where it's at, he may not even want to use the sign anymore because it'll be blocked.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't know what the future is.
Right, right. Just wanted to know where the line was. Thank you.
I'd make a motion to approve case 11018 contingent that the sign stays basically the same as requested and not illuminated. Any future major changes, come back to the board.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion to approve again. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried to approve case 11-018. Thank you for coming, and the meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.